This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer, and your narrator, Mike Luoma. And I've got part two of chapter 22 and chapter 23 of Vatican Assassin on the way on this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. We divided chapter 22 in two, with last week getting more of the chapter because we knew we were going to team it up with chapter 23 this week. So, a two-part chapter. It was a long one. Back when I wrote Vatican Assassin, it was my very first novel, and I would divide up the chapters differently now, let's just say. Anyway, I'm dividing them up differently now and bringing them to you in this fashion as we head through this week on Glow in the Dark Radio. BC back on Lunar Prime. Governor wants to see him. The Pope has sent instructor Reverend Charlena Swan to Lunar Prime to teach BC how to be a better priest. So she's now breathing down his neck. And now an agitated Cardinal Anderson has demanded BC's presence. So we're going to find out what's up with the Cardinal and the rest of them as we get through these two things, part two of chapter 22 and chapter 23 of Vatican Assassin, the 15th anniversary edition on Glow in the Dark Radio. If you're listening on Sunday, the Read an Ebook Week sale is underway. There is a brand new sale. This is one that Smashwords does every year, the Read an Ebook Week sale, the first week of March. So it's March 5th through the 11th. So you may be listening to this on the 5th. And if so, it is underway now. Or even after. You could be listening during the week. And just head on over there, smashwords.com. If you're interested in checking out my books, do a search for Mike Luoma or for Alibi Jones or Vatican Assassin. You can get the Vatican Assassin Trilogy, the third edition, for 75% off. It's $1.24. And the Alibi Jones Chronological Omnibus, that's 50% off for just $2.49. I've got a couple books for free, too. You can always get the Alibi Jones first novel for free. Now you can get the second one for free during this sale. The Sunrise of Her is free. The third book, the collection, too, of short stories, Alibi Jones and the Time War of the Devrisium, is also available for free. That's all during the Read an Ebook Week at smashwords.com. There's a link in the show notes. That goes through the 11th. I want to thank my patrons who help support this podcast through Patreon. If you're interested in doing that or learning more, just head to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. We're going to check out the second part of chapter 22 and chapter 23 of Vatican Assassin, the 15th anniversary edition, with some special voice cameos yet to come. Coming up next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Hi, I'm JC. My co-host Cindy and I host the Fix It Home Improvement Podcast. We cover projects that every homeowner should know and top-rated products for home and garden. And for fans of Mike, we keep you posted on new smart home systems and products like robot vacuums and robot lawnmowers that seemed like science fiction not too long ago. You can check it out on your favorite podcast app. It's Fix It, F-I-X-I-T, Home Improvement.
Now Now here's part two of chapter 22, Vatican Assassin, on Glow in the Dark Radio. BC gets dressed in basic blacks, checks his collar in the mirror, then sets off to see the Cardinal. The Cardinal's secretary waves him in.
Go ahead, Father, he's expecting you.
The Cardinal rises behind his desk.
Ah, Father Campion, good to see you're still in one piece. Come in, sit down.
He sits back down. BC sits down across from the Cardinal in a chair in front of the desk.
He sounds more normal than he did on the comm, that's good.
Silence ensues. BC and the Cardinal sit across from each other. Neither says a word. The Cardinal looks down at his empty desktop, as if studying something BC can't see. BC just waits.
Preoccupied by something, he isn't even looking up at me. What is up with this?
After a long few minutes, the Cardinal looks up, looks BC in the eyes.
I just recently found out about your last mission. The one that kept you away so long.
What?
You're surprised, I know. I'm not supposed to know these things.
The Cardinal laughs nervously.
Usually, I don't want to. But this time I do. And I hear you. What? I don't know. What do you call it in your line of work? What? Eliminated? Neutralized? Fixed? Took care of? Whatever. I hear you've killed the one who called himself the Light.
Wow, entirely unexpected.
I can see you're surprised I know this. Well, I have my reasons for knowing. But is it true? Was it you? Did you kill him? Was that your mission?
I really don't know what to tell you, Cardinal.
Guess you can't say, eh? Top secret or something like that?
Something like that.
Is he dead?
Look, Cardinal, I really can't...
He is dead, isn't he? I can see it in your eyes, Campion.
What can I say?
Did you know he was an old friend of mine? The Light.
The Cardinal asks. He doesn't wait for an answer, just goes on.
We were in seminary together all those ages ago. Seems like another life, another world ago now.
Really? This I didn't know. Small world. Small fucking universe.
He was once a good man, Campion. A true man of God. He truly believed.
He believed until the end, Cardinal. The Cardinal snaps to full attention. Eyes on fire at BC's tacit admission.
So you did kill him.
Whoa, back boy. No, I did not kill him, but he is dead. I'm sorry you've lost your friend. The Cardinal calms down.
I lost him a long time ago, Campion, but you did go there, to his station, to kill him?
What the hell? Yes, I did, under orders, but I failed. They captured me, dosed me with God knows what drugs, and tried to brainwash me. It was torture. They made me read the Bible all the time. BC chuckles, trying to lighten the mood.
I don't see the humor in any of this, Campion,
the Cardinal says darkly. No, I see that.
Jeesh.
Look, he meant well, but in the end, one of his own people killed him because they felt he had lost his way. They used me to help them, and then they let me go. And set me up as an absentee leader, a figurehead for them to work behind.
So, did you get to know him before the end?
Pardon?
Did you get to know the Light?
Sort of.
Did you think he was a good man?
Honestly?
Honestly.
No. BC shakes his head. I don't think anyone who sets himself up as a god or God's sole representative is a good man. I think he was delusional. He might have meant well, started out good, but he couldn't see his own faults. See where he was going, what he was doing. Plus, he had them starve me, drug me, keep me in the dark for extended periods, mess with my head.
Those aren't the tactics of a good man, Cardinal.
Yet you have changed, and I think, maybe, for the better. I can see that in your eyes, Father. Maybe not brainwashed, but he got to you, didn't he?
Maybe, in some way, BC admits grudgingly. But I never bought his philosophies. I did what I had to get out of there, but I'm not born again or anything like that.
Well, he was never into the old born again thing,
the Cardinal protests. You know what I mean. Born into his whole back to the future deal, wearing robes on a space station, getting back to the first century from a mile high in orbit. Somehow, I never could see the early Christians living like astronauts. Still, I did learn a lot. I actually read the Bible. There is some validity to the Light's arguments that the church isn't what it was originally intended to be, what Jesus wanted it to be.
He still taught that, eh? And they wear robes?
The Cardinal begins to relax a little.
You have been changed, Campion. Maybe more than you know. And I trust you when you say you didn't kill him. You didn't, right?
No, sir, I did not. I give you my word, for what it's worth. It was one of his own.
Thank you, Campion.
BC feels like the meeting is over and gets up to leave. I guess the Cardinal heard what he needed to hear. But how the hell did he know all that? He had to know someone either on the station or somehow affiliated with them.
Campion.
BC stops, answers the Cardinal. Yes?
Will things get back to, well, more normal now?
He looks up at BC with pain in his eyes. BC feels the need to reassure him. Depending on how you define normal, Cardinal, yeah, I think so. It's really up to the UIN, when you think about it.
Warmongers! They hate us. You know that, don't you, Campion? It's them you should be fixing.
The Cardinal spits out. Of course. Didn't mean to set him off. I'll check back with you later, Cardinal. I've got to go see the governor.
Very well, then, Campion.
The Cardinal looks back down at his desk, again as if studying something BC cannot see. Thank you, sir, BC says, and turns to go. He leaves the Cardinal's study and heads back towards his rooms. Glad that's over with. How could I know the Light and the Cardinal were old buds? And how did he know what I was up to? Maybe my cover is blown. BC turns the corner onto the corridor leading down to his rooms and groans. The Reverend Charlena Swan is standing directly in front of the doorway to his quarters. He tries to turn around before she spots him, but she sees him all the same. She shouts after him, "Father Campion!" As he casually walks away, she runs up after him. "Oh no, Father, you're not getting away from me again. I know who you are now." She passes him and stands directly in front of him. A tall woman, she glares at him eye to eye. "You know it's not nice to lie to a fellow priest, Father Bernard Campion." "Sorry about that. I try to travel incognito, part of the job." "You should have known that." BC keeps up a brave face. "Mysterious BS from BC, how apropos, how OPO!" Swan laughs at her own wordplay. "Do you mind?" BC says in a loud whisper, giving Swan a sharp look. "We're in a fucking public corridor. Shut up about the OPO." "Sorry, secret agent man," she says, undeterred. "I've been assigned to you by the Pope himself, and I have the Cardinal's blessing to take up your time for training. And you've already lied to me and avoided me. You haven't returned any of my messages." "I've been out of it for the last couple days, literally. Blacked out for 4 days straight. You can check the medical records if you want." "Those headaches, like on the shuttle? That was no act, I could tell. You were in pain. I felt bad for you until I found out who you were and how you'd lied to me." "Geez, all right already. Yeah, I'm a little worse for wear after my last assignment. I needed some downtime to recuperate. But I'll work with you, the Pope told me I had to." "Yeah, he told me to make you more priest, less PR man." She laughs. Did he now? The bastard.
Look, Father, I'm not a hard person to get along with. This doesn't have to be a painful process. I teach priests and seminarians all the time, and no one has been killed or even maimed. She looks down her nose at him. Up until now. So let's get started.
What, started maiming?
BC shakes his head when she just glares back at him. A joke? Come on. Fine, we'll get started, only not right now. You sound like Augustine. She shakes her head. Why not right now? No time like the present. Sure, right, but look, I've got an appointment with the governor right now, okay? I've got important business, church business, to attend to. I'm talking about important church business of yours, too.
Persistent.
Yes, you are. Fine. Later on, we'll start. For now, you'll have to excuse me. BC turns and walks back to the door to his quarters. Swan follows behind him. Don't think you've escaped me, Father, she says. I have it on the highest authority. Your holy ass is mine, at least 3 hours a day.
Damn, is that smoke coming out of her ears?
I'll see you this afternoon at 3, she tells him. She turns and storms off down the corridor.
Oh, I can see this is going to be fun.
BC opens the door to his quarters, ducks inside, and closes and locks it behind him.
Free at last.
He walks without stopping through his living room to his bedroom. He sits down on the bed and rubs his face with both hands. A lingering flicker of a headache is lurking just beyond his attention, glimmering like mirrors on the periphery of his sight, and somehow behind his eyes at the same time.
Trying not to pay it any attention, hoping it goes away. Swan didn't help it any, that's for sure. It's almost a little like vertigo, or the remains of a bad hangover. It could be a bad drug hangover from the psychedelic cocktails they fed me on Fortune Station. It could be. Even a month later, though? I don't know. Well, gotta call Mark.
Get me a Governor Edwards, BC calls out to the comm. After a short pause, the comm dings him back to let him know Edwards is on the line.
Edwards here.
Hey, Mark, it's BC. Still want to do some lunch?
Have we scheduled lunch?
Edwards is confused. You were my excuse to get out of a couple meetings, so I was hoping. Edwards laughs.
That's fine. It could be my excuse to get out of a couple things here, too. Want to meet me here in about a half hour?
Sure, that sounds good. Half an hour.
See you then.
The comm clicks off, and BC sits in the silence, rubbing his eyes, his temples, thinking.
Silence is bliss. Damn, Peter, for sicking Swan on me. She's a piece of fucking work. Can't stand her already. She seems more like the Cardinal's type of priest than Pope Peter's. I'm tempted to call and complain, but it'd do no good. No good at all. I'd like to believe that maybe it's just massive stress causing these headaches. But deep down, I know it's not just stress. It's not like a concussion or a hangover. It's more, what? Echoey, I guess? Things echo. And things shine, too. Like the flicker and glimmer of mirrors in the corners of my eyes. The echo and the shine. Just all too much all at once. And all I want to do is make it stop. Make it stop.
BC feels the shimmering ease. The echoing stops. He drops his hands, opens his eyes again. He blinks.
There. I think I'm okay. For now. Wish that worked every time.
Chapter 23. An hour and a half later, BC and Mark Edwards are finishing lunch at one of the burger joints off the main dome. BC feels really good for the first time in months.
Happy almost. Don't want to think that too hard. Might jinx it.
You were right about the California burger. The guacamole was really rich.
We just had a good avocado harvest from Hydro. Report crossed my desk yesterday. Sometimes being the governor can be an asset in ways you'd never imagine,
Edwards says with a little chuckle. He finishes his own burger off with a
final bite, and a smile as he chews. BC feels someone approach from behind.
Hello, Father Campion. What a coincidence.
Swan. So much for happiness. Maybe I did jinx myself. She walks around and smiles down at the governor and BC as she stands between them, tableside.
Reverend Swan, how good to see you again. I'm having lunch.
Looks like you had lunch, Father. Was it good?
Edwards clears his throat.
BC, you going to introduce me?
BC grudgingly remembers his manners. Sorry, Mark. Governor Mark Edwards, may I introduce the Reverend Charlena Swan? Edwards stands and shakes her hand.
Reverend?
Governor, nice to meet you. You have a nice city here.
Thank you.
I love this dome. I'm checking out the stores and restaurants. I have some time to kill before I meet with the father here at 3.
Ugh.
BC groans. Edwards and Swan both look at him. BC laughs a nervous laugh.
Did I say that out loud?
Swan shakes her head.
Well, as I was saying before I was interrupted, I'm enjoying exploring your city, Governor. I'll be on my way now.
She looks at BC.
It's good to see everything here is just as I was told it would be.
She turns back to Edwards.
I was told Lunar Prime's main dome is beautiful. And it is.
She nods.
Governor Edwards, Father, see you shortly.
She turns and walks away.
She seems nice, Edwards says. I don't see why you don't like her. You know,
he lowers his voice.
You could have been nicer.
BC explodes.
Nicer? She was checking up on me.
What?
She was checking up on me. Checking up to see that I was actually having lunch with you, with the governor.
You heard her. BC imitates her voice, adding some bitchiness.
Just making sure everything here is just as I was told it would be.
She was complimenting the dome, and anyway, why would she be checking up on you in the first place? Is she your new boss?
Mark asks him. Far from it. But she was assigned by the Pope to train me in some of my priestly shortcomings. So she has something on me. I have to spend 3 hours a day with her for the next couple months, learning what I'm supposed to already know. She's supposed to teach me to be a better priest.
So why check up on you?
Like I told you when I called you for lunch? You were my excuse.
To get away from her?
Her and the Cardinal. Edwards smiles.
You're funny sometimes, BC. Why wouldn't she believe you were having lunch with the governor? Is it that far-fetched?
No, I don't think so, but I lied to her before.
When was that?
When I first met her, on the shuttle trip back here. She sat next to me. She asked me if I was Father Bernard Campion. I kind of said I wasn't, so she'd leave me alone.
So you got off to a real good start with her, huh?
Edwards says sarcastically. Yeah.
Still, she seems okay, BC,
Edwards says sympathetically. You just don't know her yet, BC insists, shaking his head.
What do you call a female priest, anyway?
Edwards asks, innocently.
BC jumps at the opening. Reverend is acceptable, but I prefer pain in the ass.
So, Reverend Swan is going to teach you to be a priest, huh?
Not if I can help it.
You sound like a kid trying to ditch school, BC.
Edwards laughs.
How many lessons have you had so far?
None yet. I've been out cold the last 4 days, you know that. But I don't think she believes that entirely either.
Oh. There's the head thing again. Sharp pain. Almost a noise.
BC? You all right, BC?
Mark asks.
Man, I don't know. I've been getting these headaches. Like I told you over lunch, they drugged me up pretty good a few times on that station. I think these headaches may be like the aftershock, the after effects of the drugs. This really sucks.
BC pinches the bridge of his nose and tries to think the pain away again.
Your eyes just rolled back in your head, like you were possessed or something. Not a pretty sight.
So sorry, BC winces.
But I think I'm going to have to excuse myself, Mark, and go lie down for a little while.
Another headache coming on, huh? You should go to the infirmary. Get checked up on.
The doctors down at the Vatican poked and prodded me pretty thoroughly and found absolutely nothing wrong with me. I'm really not that thrilled at the thought of going through it all over again.
Our doctors might find something they missed, Edwards offers.
Maybe, BC says, as he stands, a little wobbly.
Just not right.
I'll see you later, Mark. I gotta go. BC walks off, trying hard not to stumble as he goes.
Feel like I might throw up.
He manages to keep it together and keep his California burger down all the way back to his quarters. The headache keeps trying to come on, insistent, refusing to yield. When he finally sits down on his bed, his stomach calms. The throbbing in his head eases somewhat.
Hope I didn't look drunk walking back here. Swan would love that. Probably go right into one of her reports to Pope Peter. Damn, I'm tired. I can't believe after sleeping for 4 days that I'm tired again already. What the fuck is wrong with me? What did they do to me?
BC lies down on his bed. He sees the message light blinking, but ignores it and drifts off into dreamless sleep.
That was Chapter 23, and the second part of Chapter 22 as well. Vatican Assassin, on Glow in the Dark Radio. Keith Hughes as Cardinal Anderson. Thank you once again to Keith for voicing the Cardinal. You can find his work at penslinger.com. BC is trying to navigate life back on Lunar Prime, as it take some unexpected twists and turns. Who knew the Cardinal was going to be old friends with the light? But BC has no idea what blast from his past is about to blow up on him. So join me for the next episode for the fireworks on Glow in the Dark Radio. If it is after March 5th and before March 11th, remember, you can take advantage of the Smashwords Read an Ebook Week sale that's going on now at smashwords.com. You can get the Vatican Assassin Trilogy 3rd Edition for 75% off, just $1.24. You can get the Alibi Jones Chronological Omnibus for 50% off, just $2.49. Get Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her for free. And Alibi Jones and the Time War of the Devrisium for free as well. All of these available now at the Read an Ebook Week sale going on at smashwords.com. Look for the link in the show notes. I want to thank my patrons who help support this show through Patreon. You can find out more at patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. And that is all for this week. BC's Blast from the Past, coming back next week. Hope you'll be back too. I'm your host, your writer, and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.
Glow in the Dark Radio.
This podcast presentation is copyright 2023 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 4.0 International License, CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Incompetech.com. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook, wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com.
This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.